Welcome to The Vinyl Preacher, your weekly podcast where we talk about the Bible and make a playlist. I'm Matt Cale, pastor at San Marcos Lutheran Church and Campus Ministry here in Los Angeles, California. Why do I keep saying Campus Ministry? It's not like, just, I don't know. I keep saying it though. It just rolls off the tongue, Zach.
It does. It's like America's finest and only institute of higher education in the Buddhist tradition. Naropa University also rolls right off the top of the tongue and the bottom of the tongue. The tip of the tongue. I'm the pastor of Lutheran Campus Ministry at the University of Colorado, Boulder, and occasionally at America's finest and only institute of higher education in the Buddhist tradition here in Buddhist Hotbed, Boulder, Colorado.
Where in Boulder, Colorado are you recording today? You got a nice purple wall there?
I got the purple wall. I'm recording here at St. Aidan's Episcopal Church, where I got a an office space here. We work together at St. Aidan's to support a community of students in a Tuesday night meal that we call Bread and Belonging. We're really excited. We got our beer tasting coming up now, just in a month from less than a month from this episode date. And we've decided to call the beer tasting this year Beer and Belonging.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah. One of the strengths of our ministry, we had a staff retreat the other day, Matt, because I've got a staff of three now, which I think I talked about 2 weeks ago. You know, I'm lead pastor. And at the retreat, we did some reflection. We did some reflection stuff. And we were reminded once again that one of our strengths is our ability to come up with clever names for programs. Bread X, Beer and Belonging. B&B Bucks. We've got a lot of really clever names. If only that was, I mean, yeah, I guess we just got to get into marketing out of ministry.
Well done. It's important. It's important to have good names. And a beer tasting, how exciting. I had a great beer when I was camping up in Kings Canyon National Park from the Mammoth Lakes and Brewing Company. And they put a beer called the 395, an ode to the 395. And they said they hoped that it would taste it. Their goal was to make it taste like an Eastern Sierra thunderstorm. And they put, it's like an IPA, but they put juniper into it. They put juniper into it.
Well, taste.
Yeah, like I let Chris have a taste, and she made a face like she never wants to taste anything with that much juniper in it ever again. But I like my beer to taste like a pine tree, so it was my jam. I got a second one the next night because it was just that good. Just that good, Zach. So I don't know what y'all are tasting. What do you got on tap?
I'm not sure. We try to get a diversity because you get a taste of beer and then it's paired with a food. So you kind of need a all the same beer means all the same food. So you've got a we normally do menu first, I think. And then go beer with it, you know. So you normally do like a darker, like a sweet porter-y kind of thing with dessert, right? Like a chocolate, some sort of chocolate dessert along with a porter-ish sort of a darker beer for dessert. A little lighter earlier on, you know. You got to balance the bitter with probably with a main that's savory enough to balance that out, you know.
Yeah, right.
I was really excited, Matt. I bought beer the other day from my local brewery my favorite Boulder brewery, which is Upslope. And they had a special edition fish can. And I didn't know it was the special edition fish can that I got. And the cans came out and they looked just like normal, except they had a fish on it. And then even better, Matt, they had an Upslope sticker in the shape of a fish. Like a trout, right? So it's almost fishing season. Hopefully by the time this comes out, I've been doing a lot more fishing than I have so far. But fish beer, it tasted like their normal beers.
I love the sticker, though.
It's a really cool sticker.
Good, good. Well, this has been another episode of What Are You Drinking?
You drinking? We really got to get into our
outro
music.
Besides the flesh and blood.
Besides the flesh. Well, we don't have to do that this week, Matt. I do think our listeners are probably pretty invested in finding out what's happening in part three of my bicycle maintenance story.
Yeah, tell us.
Because I believe I announced... the first step was that I took my bicycle, my 1978 Schwinn Traveler 3, to a local bike shop who refused to service it because they said it was too old. And then I went home and watched YouTube videos and said, screw you guys, I can fix this myself. And do you know what I did, Matt? I fixed it my own damn self. It wasn't very hard. I had to repack bearings. I don't know why, but I've been very self-conscious in the past about doing maintenance, like working on my bicycle. Even though, like, I've replaced tubes on a TV that's broken before, but I've been like, I can't touch the bicycle.
You YouTube stuff all the time,
right? I don't know why I was so hesitant to do it. And so I fixed it, and the front wheel now spins beautifully. I just had to repack the bearings, which turned out to be pretty simple. And so for fun, Matt, my bike was working. I've got a fussy hamstring right now, so I've been trying to do other things. I've been swimming a bit and trying to get the bike fixed so I can get back on the bike. And I rode the bike on Sunday afternoon after preaching down into Boulder Town to the Dark Horse, the world-famous Dark Horse, which isn't a really fun college dive bar next to campus. And I went down there to meet up with a friend who was watching England play Italy in the European Championship final. Ooh. Along with the rest of the British, the Boulder British Club, the BBC, which, speaking of clever names, that's a pretty good one. And it was a madhouse, Matt. The place was packed, had to wait in line. The second beer that I bought was one of the greatest accomplishments of my life, just fighting my way to the bar, getting the bartender's attention and ordering a Coors Banquet beer. One of the greatest things I've ever done. It was so much fun until the very end. And then it was really sad, man. I felt so bad for those people. Because I don't know if you know, like, historically, you know, England has not won a major international tournament since 1966. And this was their first final since 66. And along the way, they have had some pretty very good teams that have lost almost exclusively in shootouts. And they scored right away, less than 2 minutes into the match. And then just tried to wait for the game to end. And then Italy scored towards the end of the second half. And then you go to shootouts, and it just, predictably, they lost in just the most heartbreaking way. And for 2.5 hours, there had been singing and drums, and, like, somebody had a trombone, like, playing Football's Coming Home and stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, I texted Hannah when I watched the semifinal with the same people that watching England play international football with English people is like what it used to be like to watch Clemson play football before we got really good, where you're like, yeah, we're great, but nothing ever works out for us. And, like, the fatalism is just, like, over the years, you just get, like, no, that's exactly how this works. I know you're new and you're really excited. I'm glad. Yeah, but no, this is not going to work out for us. And they didn't have that fatalism on Sunday, which made it even worse when it came true again.
Oh, no.
So, then I got a flat tire on the way home. No. So I'm doing a whole new overhaul. Matt. I've ordered a bunch of tools off of the internet. I'm getting new tires, doing new bearings on the back, cleaning out my free wheel. I had to buy a free wheel tool. I got some cone wrenches coming. It's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward. I'm feeling so empowered as I pursue my bivocation as a emerging bicycle mechanic.
Amazing. Why don't you come out here and work on my bike?
Hey. I'm preaching in your church this week, so maybe I'll stop by fix the bike.
Good, sounds good. Wow, this is what it's like to be an LSTC alum. So LSTC, post our stuff.
Hey, we talked about a lot of saints last week, so they should jump on that.
It's great. Hey, we're in a new book of the Bible. That's fun.
Semi-continuous this week, Matt, with the Old Testament reading. We are leaning very heavily into the semi part.
Yeah. Yeah, we're now zoomed ahead into the Song of Solomon. I guess the connection is Solomon?
I suppose.
Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 8 to 13.
The good news is next week you get another... Wait, no, you don't get any more readings from Song of Solomon. We skip to late in Proverbs.
Song of Solomon. Amazing stuff. Well, here's the reading today. A reading from Song of Solomon. The voice of my beloved. Look, he comes leaping upon the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Fear the deer.
Fear the deer.
Fear the deer. That's our sermon title for this week. Preaching that Song of Solomon. Let's hope they win, because otherwise it'll be a sad sermon. Maybe it'll be like one of those, like, hey, you lost. Here's the real good news. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But now's your chance to preach about the Milwaukee Bucks, because we had a stag.
And look, by there now, he stands. We mean a month ago.
Right. A month ago. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing in at the windows, looking through the lattice. Mm. Not creepy at all. My beloved speaks and says to me, arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. For now the winter is past, the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth, and the time of singing has come. And the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree puts forth its figs, and the vines are in blossom. They give forth fragrance. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. Word of God, word of sexuality. It's going to be great.
Thanks.
Really
be to God for sex.
Stuff. I mean, it's great. Like, springtime has come. People are going off to war because that's what you do in the springtime.
Mm-hmm. What's the good news here, Matt?
What's the good news? I mean, I don't know. God is present. I don't know how we're going to think of Prince songs this week, because Prince has no songs that match.
No sex songs.
Song of Solomon. But the idea that God is even in those racy Prince songs, probably, maybe that's good news. Great. I don't know.
It is just worth saying, dear listener, this is about sex. It's not like, oh, you could understand it as about sex. The modern day scholars think that this was written not primarily or first in the first place about like the relationship of God to Israel or Jesus to the church, but as legitimate love songs that were sung at banquets and stuff. So, it is what it is. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. That's a Prince lyric, and it was intended to be a Prince lyric.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. I'm glad this is in our scriptures. We do, I guess, two things. I don't know how you tie it together. But I remember when we first started talking about reconciling in Christ statements here at St. Mark's, I remember the thing that tripped us up was not so much LGBTQ conversations, but it was having just the word sexuality, the word sexual identity, right? Sexual orientation, that we had the word sexual and we were saying it in a church building. It was just like really uncomfortable, and we're like, I don't know, like, how can we, like, that was the piece that was actually harder. They'd be like, no, like, we do, like, you know, but, and so I think, and that's probably true, like, in a lot of places. I don't know, again, like, I don't know exactly how, what that looks like in the pulpit, but I think it's important to know that God does encompass all of our lives. And we do acknowledge that in other ways, right? The fact that we often do weddings in a church probably says something about how God, the life of faith encompasses all of these things. This is all part of what it means to be a child of God. So it has its place. I don't know how you preach on it, but I think you should probably talk about it somehow.
I think it's kind of fit nicely with the gospel and help you find your way into the sermon. I'd just say, well, one text that Matt, gazelle in Hebrew has a homonym for beautiful. So that's fun. A little fun poetry stuff going on there. A little wordplay. Yeah. The other thing I'd say is that in my 10 years now as a campus pastor, I've noticed shifts and trends and changes, you know, which is an interesting thing to have that kind of perspective. Number one, students do not use and never ever will use Facebook. And for that, we can thank God. Number two, they're really good at talking about mental health stuff. They're really fluent talking about it. They're not ashamed to talk about mental health stuff at all, or not at all, but in ways that I couldn't conceive of when I was a college student. And the last one is that at least our students here in Boulder are so much more sex positive than, again, I could have imagined anybody being, really, when I was in college.
Yeah, so I wonder how a text like this fits into that shifting trend.
Well, I have an idea, man.
What's your idea?
Let's go to the gospel.
Let's
Mark,
do it.
Mark, we've missed you, Mark. You left us alone with a terrible man named John who force-fed us bread for 3 weeks, man. Over and over again, the same thing. John, it's so good to see you. I'm glad you're okay, and we welcome you back warmly. We pick up where we left off, Matt. At the end of the sixth chapter, Mark had Jesus going back and forth on the boat, And now we move right back into the story after now that we're sleepy and have had way too much bread and flesh and blood. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed, Matt, that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them, which is not a good way to control the pandemic, though it turns out surfaces and hands is not the primary way that it spreads. It's aerosol-based, but still a good idea to wash your hands. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups and pots and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not live according to the great tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And Jesus said to them, Isaiah prophesied rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition. And then Jesus called the crowd again and said to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand. Whew, that's a little hot. There is nothing outside a person that can, by going in, defile. But the things that come out are what defile. For it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness. Ugh, isn't that a problem for all of us? Licentiousness. Always talking about that. Envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. The good news of Jesus.
Praise you, O Christ.
Right? So we've got another lewd reading, if you will, here. A little bit of context and background. So the Pharisees, and it says all the Judeans, but that's not true. The Pharisees do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are many other traditions. They observe the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. This is what locally at the time was known as the Great Tradition. And the reality was that only the Pharisees, only the really wealthy, essentially, who had no other task, could do it. Peasant farmers, fishermen, and wanderers, travelers, could not, just literally could not keep it, because it meant you needed to have clean water all the time, to have ritual baths to clean yourself up so that you can eat pure stuff. And if you're farming, well, it also means you would need to do those ritual baths anytime you came into contact with a dead animal, like a fish, which you're going to happen every single day as a fisherman, or a dead animal, you know, the way that would happen very often as a farmer or a traveler. And the reality is, you know, as a farmer and a fisher, you can't put planting and harvesting on hold because you need to wash your hands in a fancy way. You need to make sure, again, one of the social science realities we talked about recently, the primary concern of most people in the ancient Near East was staying alive by getting enough food to eat. And so that was your main priority, not making sure you were ritually clean. And so they kept a much more, they call it the little tradition, a much more restrained version of keeping the law. So there is an element here of economic disparity that Jesus is condemning, but he also does it in this really interesting, it's really good. This stuff's really good, right? Where he says that it's not what you eat that defiles you, but what comes out. And he's alluding to poop, okay? Like, that's what Jesus is doing here, and he's doing it on purpose. So you should say that in your sermon, because don't be afraid to defile your sermon, right? As you might, what are the things, like, that's worth, maybe that's worth saying, Matt, right? Maybe that's a way to get into the sermon, is we read this sexy Old Testament reading and we're like, well, how do we put that in a sermon? Because there are things that as a preacher, you probably, I know I'm not going to like, I'm going to go out of my way to not put it into a sermon. Or if I use it, I'm going to use it real strategically, you know, like poop. Right, I don't often talk about poop in sermons because it turns people off, right? And if I'm talking about sex and stuff, I'm going to know my audience real well, and I'm going to be real intentional about it and careful, right? There are a list of words that you want to make sure you don't defile your sermon with. And maybe that's a way to get into this and to name them, right? By saying, I shouldn't say these, but then say them, obviously. But here's the fun twist that Jesus is doing on this. Poop is not against the law. Poop is kosher, which I'd never thought.
What?
Yeah, I found the line in Rabbi Molina. It's not like, because kosher laws mostly pertain to what you're eating, but it doesn't make you unclean to poop, which is odd, right? Because you could compare that to like menstruation, which makes a woman unclean, right? Mm-hmm. But if you go through all the ritual stuff and you have to go to the bathroom, you don't have to go back through it all again. Pooping is considered clean. And so Jesus is lifting up the ridiculousness of their like system of laws, right? Like he's saying, right? Like you're saying these things are unclean, but you're saying poop is clean. Like that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard, right? And he's saying that in this crowd. So is this complete reorientation and openness to what is it that makes us unclean? Because I think there are things that make us unclean. You know, I mean, Jesus says there is, right? Like licentiousness, loitering. He didn't say loitering, but that'd been pretty funny if he did. But that you got to re-examine those things. And that it could be, when we find ourselves in the shoes of the Pharisees, that the things that are clean to the things that we are saying are unclean, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. What? Now you're messing with my whole reality.
Magical realism. It's the summer.
What I thought was one thing is another thing.
Magical realism.
Now's the time.
The poop fairy.
The heat, it's getting really hot. I mean, just things are hazy out there. Magical realism sermon. Now's the time.
You want to get people upset on a Sunday morning, Matt. You can't, maybe you talk about poop, they get upset. But if the potties aren't working, that's a pretty bad situation as a pastor. That's like an emergency, you know.
It's true. Yeah. Oh, well, there's the start to your sermon. When the bodies aren't working, it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. And, you could even go the whole for those who have children, right? Like, I think you go through this, I feel like I'm starting to come out of it, where, like, you're not really, like, afraid of poop anymore. You know, like, you go through this, like, you just kind of start with, like, poop is bad. Oh, no. But then it's just a part of your reality in ways that might actually be helpful to understanding the world and how, like, life works. And now as I've like entered potty training and stuff, like I'm so for, like I used to see somebody else's poop every day, like multiple times a day, every day, and like get it on me. And I didn't, it wasn't like I was like, oh no, I'm ritually unclean. You know, this is just a part of life.
Yeah. 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 I mean, even beyond poop, becoming a parent is re-embodies you in a pretty significant way. I remember thinking that suddenly all my concerns were about eating and sleeping and pooping. Like that, and that was like my round-the-clock reality for at least the first couple months. But what like a revelation. And then it like continues in different ways, right, for the next several years. But it's this embodying thing, right? And I think that is really relevant to all of these texts, really.
I wonder, here's another one to throw in there, Matt, another option if you don't have children and can't do it, that version of the story. I mentioned I have a fussy hamstring. One of the things I'm doing, I'm going to the pool, I'm swimming laps. I'm trying to swim like a K a couple times a week. And that means I'm in a adult men's locker room at a recreation center. Right?
Yeah.
And that's its own special place. Right? Mm-hmm. Because it's full of, like, old men in particular have a justified reputation for having not caring at all about walking around naked in the locker room. And you're just really aware of bodies. And I wonder, right? Like, I think, what am I supposed to do in the locker room? You know, like, I don't feel like I should be, like, holier than thou and not use the locker room because I'm afraid of, like, nakedness, right?
Sure.
And yet I feel like I probably have heard interpretations of whatever document it is that shapes our conduct that used to be visions and expectations, where like me being naked in the locker room on campus at the rec center feels like it could be problematic and stuff, you know? So
all kinds of good examples this Sunday for preaching an uncomfortable sermon.
Just be sure to hit on nudity and poopity and licentiousness.
And licentiousness, especially the licentiousness. What licentious songs are you listening to this week?
Oh, if you're going to talk about being clean and dirty, you got to go to a song by one of the greatest musical acts that ever existed, Matt, and a musical act that we lost way too soon, not because of airplane crash, not because of drug use, but because one of the members, Andre 3000, lost his freaking brain. And the Chappelle Show sketch where Andre 3000 runs into Big Boy at the coffee shop is one of the greatest sketches of all time and incredibly true. It might as well be a documentary. But before that happened, before he danced around like Robin Hood with Big Boy, one of the greatest rappers of all time, they recorded a track that was so fresh and so clean that it's going to endure for generations. So I'm putting So Fresh and So Clean by Outkast off of, I believe it's Stankonia, which is an incredible album. And then I changed up my second song, Matt, because as that gazelle is gazing through the window at you, you've got to be playing one of the creepiest songs of all time, I'll Be Watching You by Sting and The Police.
Oh, that's so good.
And last, for the sexy sex stuff, I thought, gosh, Matt, how do you pick a single Prince song? And I decided to go with the best track off of Love Sexy, the 1988 album that Prince put out, Alphabet Street, which is not itself, it's not even the lewdest of, it's not even in the top echelon of Prince lewdness, but it's enough, you know?
Yeah. Good. Wow. Good stuff. Oh, amazing. I think we had The Police on here. I don't know why we had Every Breath You Take last time, but it does make you think of The Police. The Police, probably good. They could be writing these Song of Solomon songs. Good stuff. Oh my gosh. I'll do... What Prince song should I... God, there's too many issues from basically most of his catalog.
Just listen to a Spotify random Prince song.
For the Song of Solomon. But I'm going to go with It from Sign of the Times. And It refers to it. And then with all of the washing, I was like, it's a good washing song. And there's actually a washing song I really like. It's called Wash Away by Joe Purdy. And it was, yeah, I think it was used in like a commercial for a dish soap. But it's a really lovely, yeah. It's a really lovely, lovely track. And I have used it even on like the Easter Vigil after the Noah's Ark story. It's like a really lovely little, just a little song. They're going to wash away. I got troubles, but not today. They're going to wash away. They're going to wash away. Really good. And I think that's what I got. I think that's what I got this week.
Cool. I like it, Matt. We made it through the summer of Prince.
We did. Yeah, now we're going to need a new artist for the fall. It's going to be good.
Right.
Well, update that Spotify playlist for our faithful listeners.
I put it in my dot journal.
But for now, it's been real.
Real vinyl.